ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Coin Talk. Today is September 26, 2018. So today, Stellar X got released. That's right. If you don't know what Stellar X is, you're probably living in a cave. No, seriously. So Stellar X is a completely free universal marketplace. It is a green field for experienced adventurous traders. The order books are raw and underexplored. And it's actually the very first client built on the Stellar Network. And if you didn't know this, the Stellar Network is a fantastic settlement backend that has, until today, had a very basic front end. And then Stellar X came along and they built a very beautiful exchange. I've been messing with it the past couple days. God, it's gorgeous. It's so easy to use. I love how fluid it is. I love how everything's pinned at the top. You can create your own trades right from there. There's tethers to Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Ken, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, BAT, and so many others. They also have some native tokens. And I expect this list to grow over time. Most definitely. You can get Mobius. You can get RepoCoin. There's some other ones on there as well, too. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Turns out an ICO or an STO on the Stellar Exchange is actually the way to go. It's so much the way to go that almost 75 of the world's biggest banks are turning to blockchain. That's right. So they're going to be leveraging Hyperledger, and they're going to be leveraging IBM. And we all know that IBM does cross-border payments on a blockchain, and that blockchain creates a distributed ledger that all banks can query in real time. And we also know that the underlying protocol that they use is the Stellar Consensus Protocol. Guess what's built inside that protocol? That's right, the Stellar Network or the Stellar Exchange. IBM even claims that the new system simplifies transactions, reducing dispute resolution and reconciliation times, lowers costs at every stage, reduces capital requirements for cross-border transactions, and enables end-to-end transparency. And it's all done on the Stellar Consensus Protocol. Pretty cool. You know, and it's kind of one of those things that you never really realize until you really sit back and think. There's so many projects out there that are, you know, raising, you know, millions of dollars in ICO money. Yeah, we just saw this past weekend. We reviewed Dropbill, and they were raising, gosh, millions of dollars in ICO money. And then their token got released, and it's pumping, and the exchange is going to come out. But you need their token to use their exchange. And then they also have a bot that's going to be able to make those trades for you. But turns out, Stellar has all that built in right on the protocol. And anybody out there that's a developer can use the back end of the Stellar Consensus Protocol and use the built-in exchange and create a beautiful front end just like Stellar X has done. And what's going to be even way slicker in the future is they're going to have this thing called Federated Name. And that's going to be a kind of like an email, but think of it as your name with an asterisk at stellarx.com. So whenever you're trying to pay somebody, you know, halfway around the world to their XLM address, you don't have to write down their public key. So right now you can actually start trading on it. It's pretty sweet. You just deposit some XLM. If you don't have some XLM, you have other type of cryptocurrency. You can deposit that as well too. And they use Changely as a one-to-one exchange from BTC to XLM to trade on the platform. It's pretty cool. Take a listen to Jed McCaleb and Adam Litwin as they discuss how having an exchange right on the protocol level changes everything.
Yeah, there are like a whole cornucopia of things that people do with this blockchain concept, and they do get lumped together, but it's important to realize that they're all serving pretty different niches, and they're not necessarily competitive, and there won't be like one thing that will solve all use cases. Stellar is designed, like I said, mainly to facilitate cross-border payments. So it's you know, basically the idea is to be sort of like email is for information. This will be this is a protocol for sending value, right? So what that means is you can store any kind of tokenized representation in there. So dollars or euros or Thai baht can be represented inside the network, and it turns those into a digital currency. So it turns, so now a dollar token inside Stellar can be sent just as easily as Bitcoin is sent around, you know, things like this, right? So so it has that aspect, and then it also has this distributed exchange inside the network, because not everybody wants to use the same currency, right? If I'm here and I want to send money to somebody in Mexico, they want to receive pesos, and though I want to send dollars. So you need to have an exchange inside the network that can swap between these different assets. So it has this built-in distributed exchange, and this allows everything to be interoperable, because that's the main goal, is to make all these different forms of value interoperable. And those are kind of the big differentiators from between Stellar and a lot of other like blockchain projects are those two things. Like, it can hold other assets. There's an exchange between them. And also, we made the thing very scalable because it's tailored just for that use case. So, okay. Yeah.
Adam, you work with Visa on commercial payments. So do you imagine companies like Visa will ever use a public blockchain like Stellar?
Yeah, good question. And I think building on Jed's description of Stellar, that vision is very similar to what not only Visa, but other, I guess, financial network incumbents have latched onto around cryptocurrencies and blockchains, recognizing this medium feels like the internet native medium for what we do. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, that can feel threatening. But also, companies like Visa that have been around for decades have shifted the medium of their business multiple times. You know, in our work with Visa, we found that they were less like threatened than, you know, opportunistic and sort of looking at it through an innovator's lens, even though that is hard for incumbents to do. I will say between like 2014 and 2017, there was a reluctance to touch anything public blockchain related. We actually, the very first thing we built was an API to make it easier to use the Bitcoin network. We found that the only people willing to sort of use a service like that were startups and fintechs, that the incumbents, the enterprise, just wasn't ready. And so most of our efforts, like I said at the outset, were focused on helping them and kind of meeting them where they were at the time. You know, their willingness to build a network, but in a permissioned environment. Mm-hmm. What's changed in the last 12 months is as they have both, and I mean Visa, but also the enterprise market generally, as they've built out kind of and prototyped and done pilots of permissioned networks, they've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And they've also watched as the cryptocurrency or public network ecosystem has matured a lot. And I know, sitting here and thinking, is cryptocurrency mature yet? Is it? And we just had a panel about how nobody knows anything about the law, and that's all true. But we've come a long way from just a few years ago. You have to remember, we're the only game in town was Bitcoin, and there was no way to put an asset on the Bitcoin network. Really, you can hack it and put it into the op return, but you can't really do anything scalable. Both because of everything they've learned, and they've learned that there are fundamental limits to permissioned networks. It's not easy to add people later, for example. And because networks like Stellar and others have matured a lot in the last few years, there's a willingness to now finally, in 2018, begin to sort of dip their toe. So I would say, I think you framed it, will they ever, not only will they ever, they're already quietly but certainly engaging with public networks the way they were quietly engaging with this notion of a private network a few years ago. And I think the two, private and public, are going to converge in a way that that dichotomy is not going to be one we talk about at conferences in a couple of years.
Okay, but yeah, please. Jeff.
I was going to say, yeah, that's kind of our experience in with dealing with IBM, is that they originally started this Hyperledger project, and it was very much a permissioned thing. And I think what they've realized over time is that only gets you so far. To really do anything real in the world, you need to be connected to this larger network, because the whole benefit of this kind of technology is it allows you to transact with people you aren't in a tight network with. It allows you to transact with people you don't necessarily know, right? Yeah. And so that's why they're now kind of like reaching out to have like their Hyperledger thing connected to larger public network.
On the place, so Visa, are they like in 2 years, 3 years, or what do you think? Is it going?
Yeah, so I won't speak specifically to the project we have with them, but I will say more broadly based on all of our conversations, including conversations on the capital market side, like with the NASDAQs of the world. If you look at the portfolio of experiments that are happening at the enterprise, 2 years ago, it was 100% private networks. Mm-hmm. Last year, because of that boom in the market, there was a little bit of an engagement with public networks, usually on the on a project that has to do with, can we build like a trading desk or wealth management or something. Now, it feels like it's, in some cases, 25%, in some cases, 50% of what's happening internally at the enterprise level is experimenting with public networks, whether that's Stellar or Ethereum or something else.
What a lot of information right there, just all at once. Jed and Adam talking about the future of blockchain in regards to the NASDAQs and JP Morgans and IBMs of the world. Looks like they're going to be working with a lot of public blockchains here in the near future. And Stellar looks primed to be one of them. Pretty cool. Let's go ahead and get into Coin Talk today. We got a lot of stuff to discuss in Coin Talk. Some big happenings in the crypto sphere that you need to know about. So with that, let's do it.
It is time. Only crypto, coins, trades, predictions ahead. It is what you spend all day wondering, isn't it? This crypto dream. Only on Coin Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world, it's time for Coin Talk. But before we jump right into that, we got to discuss a little bit of things here. So we want to say thank you again to Gabe Shepard and Amy Wan for coming on the show this week. Really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun doing those interviews. I hope you guys enjoyed it too as well. Also, if you guys are interested in HoshaCon, remember in the episode, Gabe just out of nowhere gave us 50% off all tickets. Just use promo code Thriller, which is pretty nice of him to do that. I did not know he was going to do that. So if you guys are at all interested, check the link in the show notes or go to hoshocon.com and get signed up. It's going to be in Vegas. There's going to be, you know, parties at night, of course, and then learning during the day when it comes to blockchain security. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then on top of that, you have Andreas speaking, doing the keynote. So that's going to be cool. So also have a special announcement that I want to make. This month, we are supposed to give out Funfair on October 1st. What we're going to do instead is give out just BTC, straight up Bitcoin. That's right. So I was thinking about it long and hard. I was like, how much Bitcoin should I give out to everybody? I was like, they're definitely going to be Satoshis. So there's no way I could afford to give out, you know, 2 Bitcoin apiece or anything like that. It's going to have to be Satoshis, right? So as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? Let me give out, you know, 0.002 Bitcoin to 3 different people. Or I could just do 1 person gets 0.006 Bitcoin. But then I was like, no, let's just do 3. So we're going to give out to 3 people 0.002 Bitcoin on Monday, October 1st. It's going to be at 6 p.m. That's right, 6 p.m. So if you're at all interested, sign up for that newsletter. It doesn't cost you anything. Link's in the show notes. And get ready to get some free BTC if you win. And it's pretty cool. One of the reasons why we didn't do Funfair after all was I like buying my stuff through Bittrex. You know, I've used Binance in the past and I've just never had really good, dealings with them. So I'd rather just get it through Bittrex. And if I can't get it through Bittrex or through Exodus, then I'll just, you know, have to wait. So I think next time what I'll do is I'll make sure to to look at those exchanges first before I make an announcement. But I figured people would much rather have Bitcoin than any other coin. So I think Bitcoin as a replacement, I'm sure suits all of y'all just fine. So who knows? Maybe it'll be, you know, worth, you know, a couple thousand next year or something. Who knows? We don't know. And that's all we got. So let's go ahead and jump into Coin Talk. This is my favorite part of the day, but first, we have to play a disclaimer. Yeah, turns out we have to play a disclaimer. It's a legally binding contract with myself and you, so you know not to take me seriously. That's right, I don't know anything. Play the disclaimer, robot lady. Let's do it.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
That's right, coin market cap, baby boy. It is at 216 billion. That's right, billion. And it actually started off pretty strong today. It started off really strong with Bitcoin. I think we're at 6,600, somewhere around there. Of course, right when I saw that, I went ahead and bought in because I was like, you know, I got to give me some Bitcoin that I got to give away to everybody. So I was like, let's get it in. Let's get it in while it's still cheap because I had a feeling it was going to run to 7K. I was like, well, if it runs to 7K and then I saw Matthew charting it up during the day, I was like, oh, no, I need to get some Bitcoin. So I got some Bitcoin before it got pretty higher. So right now it's at 6517, still pretty good, but it'll probably get to 7K probably by the end of the weekend. I think we're in the clear, honestly. Everybody, I really do. I don't feel like there is anything else coming out that will be negative for the rest of the year. So just understand that if you hear a lot of people say, oh, it's going to go back down, you know, just be careful out there. I think we're going to start seeing a steady climb in October, and we're going to see a continuous steady climb in November. I don't think we're going to go parabolic like we did last year with the whole market cap in January. But I do think it looks like there's going to be some individual, you know, cryptocurrencies that are going to go parabolic. Today, Bitcoin Cash went parabolic, went up 20% at 524. And, of course, people are saying it's because of the IPO that's going to be released by Bitmain here pretty soon. And that caused the price to spike up. There's some more details regarding it. I really didn't get the whole idea of how that correlated with Bitcoin Cash going up. I'm assuming that they have to give up some Bitcoin Cash that they hold on hand because it's seen as a vulnerability for their IPO. That's the only thing I can think of. But go out there and do your own research and find out exactly why they're doing a spike today. Ethereum is at 217. Which is pretty good. I think it started out the day at around 215, so it's up by 2%. We got XRP spiking up again. Yeah, XRP spiking up again. And it's funny because if you didn't catch the news yesterday, Coinbase, they did this again. Well, let me explain the NASDAQ thing. Well, actually, should I explain the Coinbase thing? I feel like I should explain the Coinbase thing first. Okay, so Coinbase decided that they were going to go ahead and release an announcement yesterday, but it wasn't the announcement that we were hoping for. It was an announcement about how they're going to release future announcements and future digital assets. So they said that they're going to have a form that anybody that is a cryptocurrency can go and fill out. And if you meet their guidelines, you will be onboarded onto their platform. They also said at the time that there will be different territories and jurisdictions around the world that they will be able to have your security token, cryptocurrency. Not sure exactly what the SEC is going to do about regulation on there. So once you submit that first, you're going to be able to actually get Coinbase to look at it. There won't be a fee or anything in the beginning. They did say that as time goes on, there might be a fee associated with the application process. But they also mentioned, which is kind of strange, they also mentioned that the currencies that they already are looking at, the five additional ones from a couple months ago, they said those are still in play, but there won't be an announcement for the announcement. So it sounded like to me, and I was just reading between the lines and I posted it in the Telegram, it sounded like to me that they are going to skip the last announcement where they say, ADA or XLM is on Coinbase in a month's time or whatever. They're just going to go straight to XLM is available on Monday, you know, something like that. So it's kind of one of those things where, like, I think there's, I kind of liked it the other way better, but I guess it started getting kind of predictable where everybody was knowing exactly what they were going to do. So I think what they're going to do now is they're going to let people submit their coins. They already have coins. Oh, they also said that they're going to have coins that they're going to be looking at, but they won't say that they're looking at it, which really doesn't make any sense. It's just, I felt like they should have left it the way it was. But now they're kind of giving themselves more kind of, I guess it's less transparency in a way, but it's more transparency because they're telling you what they're going to do beforehand. But they basically want to surprise people. And they're doing that so that people don't have an opportunity to speculate and to run, you know, the whole cryptocurrency rampant over what coins are going to be added, which makes sense. But what's even bigger news that came out today was NASDAQ. So NASDAQ came out with an exclusive, and NASDAQ and Ripple are match made in heaven, according to executives. And this is a source. This is all from sources that was leaked. One source at NASDAQ has said that we aren't interested in the noise. We are interested in scale. If we start this initiative with the top 5 or 7 coins by market capitalization, why would we exclude XRP? There's no good reason to exclude them, at least the way that we are evaluating our work. Look at it this way. There is just as much noise around Bitcoin Cash as there ever has or ever will be around Ripple's cryptocurrency. And Bitcoin Cash is listed almost ubiquitously across all exchanges, so we see no reason to exclude XRP. Instead, we've leaned in and embraced what they become or what they bring to the table. You can't really argue from a firm that has a top-notch executive team and is buttoned up as you'll find in crypto. Gosh. You know, it's funny because, you know, when we did the whole, you know, XRP talk earlier in the year, you know, I did express how much Ripple, the company, comes off, you know, to Wall Street investors. Like, they come off like their type of coin or token or whatever it is, security, you know. And it's not a surprise that NASDAQ is going to list XRP on their platform when it gets released. So they also said, this is from a second source, market cap is just about everything here. Ripple and XRP could be the second largest cryptocurrency at any moment. So the decision to include them in our initial offerings is an absolute no-brainer. Easy to do based on the firm's management team and their continued execution within the banking sector, and we've largely eschewed the security token debate. Market cap is what plays for us as we develop these solutions. Ripple checks that box and then some. Not to mention they've been extremely forthcoming from a due diligence standpoint and made several different members of their management team available to us at a moment's notice. And then a Ripple executive confirmed these NASDAQ discussions. They said, yes, we've been in discussions with NASDAQ around their exchange initiative and have been willing to answer any and all due diligence questions. We believe in what we are doing here, our products and services, and XRP as well. NASDAQ will ultimately be the final arbiter of who gets listed next year. But we believe we will be firmly in that group. Without giving too much away, the excitement around here for where it is headed is pretty fun to watch. The NASDAQ exchange and custody product is going to be something special. Oh, and then what was really funny, because another Ripple executive yesterday, they let this slip. So they said, this inclusion justified, I might add, gives us less interest in taking whatever unnecessary steps Coinbase would have us take to meet any listing standards as they deem relevant. So while it would be welcome to finalize a XRP listing on Coinbase, we simply aren't interested in moving heaven and earth to do so. Shots fired. Crazy, man. Crazy how the world changes. So if you remember on Tuesday, or was it? Yeah, on Tuesday, we discussed how, you know, all of Wall Street, it was just very disturbing how all of them were all on board with Ripple. Ripple, Ripple, Ripple. And then this gets launched here today. Gosh, it's at this point, it's like, I think we know, I think anybody who has been in this space for a long time can recognize a security when they see one at this point. To me, again, this is just my own take on it. To me, XRP is a security. It looks like a security. It walks like a security. It tastes like a security. You know, XRP is just that. The fact that the NASDAQ is using XRP and Ripple interchangeably kind of explains that right there. But at the end of the day, NASDAQ is one of the biggest platforms on the face of this earth. And if they say XRP is a cryptocurrency and they have, a phone call away from the SEC, there's really nothing you can do about that at this point. They're gonna put XRP on NASDAQ. It's gonna make a fuck ton of money. It is. Like, to sit there and say XRP is not gonna make any money when it gets on NASDAQ is just a ridiculous statement. And I am not gonna go as far as say that, like other people have said today. No, when XRP gets on NASDAQ, it's gonna make a lot of money for them, because XRP looks like exactly what they want. It's exactly what these institutional investors want. They want XRP. It looks exactly like a security to them, and this is exactly what they want, and it's going to make them a lot of money, because right now it's at 52 cents. So it's not a surprise that, Ripple was able to swing this. It is a surprise that NASDAQ is willing to list it without, going through the SEC first or even having any type of guidelines set. They're strictly looking at market cap to add these coins. If we look at market cap right now, of course, Bitcoin is one of them. Ethereum is one of them. XRP is one of them. Bitcoin Cash, even EOS is one of them. Stellar, Litecoin, depending on how deep they want to go, Cardano. It's scary because they're not looking at, I feel like Coinbase is going out of their way to be more regulated. And then you have NASDAQ. They're like, yeah, we'll throw on whatever. We'll throw on XRP on there. Sure. Like, wait, what? I don't know. It's almost like you have the entire institutional space acting like these crypto exchanges now. And then you have, Coinbase acting like these institutional, product-backed, securities. It's weird. It's like today's an upside down day. So if this leak is true, if NASDAQ really is going to list XRP, and it's going to be the very first time XRP is listed on a very well-known exchange, it's going to skyrocket the price. It skyrocketed today. It went back up almost immediately on the news. And XRP is going to go from 53 cents. If it peaked on kind of a rumor that it was going to show up on Coinbase at $3, if it peaked at $3, gosh, it's going to get to $5, $10 on NASDAQ just automatically. I mean, we saw how high it went just on some Coil news and Swell conference last week. And then look at it now here with this. It's just crazy to think that that's going to happen. That's why I love this space, man. From one day to the next, you never know exactly what's going to happen. You just don't. It can go parabolic just like that. And this is why this space is so exciting. So it looks like, I still have some XRP. it's not a lot, but I think I am going to definitely have to hold a bag or two. Like, it sucks because I hate that freaking coin, but I'm not one to not make some money off of it if I can. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that's going to be a total freaking pump when it gets announced, XRP on their platform officially. And then when it gets released, it's going to be a pump like nothing you've ever seen. It's going to be crazy. So I think getting at XRP, at a really low price right now makes sense, and holding it for whatever, 6 months, whenever they release it. That's just nuts. That is absolute nuts. And I don't want to do anybody a disservice, because at the end of the day, this is my own opinion. This is not financial advice. This is not anything like that. I don't even know anything, don't trust me. But the way I look at it is, if it's at 50 cents and it can get to $3, $4, $5, $10, once it gets on NASDAQ, like, that's a lot of return just because, you don't want to hold a banker's coin, So it's, gosh, it is what it is at this point. And, So if one of the things that I was debating, I was like, well, when should I get in on XRP? Because I'm not going to buy it now at 53 cents. No way. So I think we're probably going to see a nice little dip here. Probably not for XRP, but I think after the Swell conference, which is going to be next week, it's going to go up even more. But I think after the Swell conference, there's a nice little dip after that. So we might see an XRP dip after the Swell conference. And that's like around the beginning of October. So look for that. That might be a chance to get in at around 40 cents, hopefully. I don't know if it'll go back down to 20 cents anymore. I think 40 cents is probably going to be the lowest you're going to be able to get it. But I think having a nice size bag of XRP and then cashing it in 6 months later is not a bad idea. Just my opinion. We also have Stellar. Stellar went up today. Was doing really good earlier. I think it's because of Stellar X. All that movement. It's at 24 cents. We have Cardano at 8 cents. Keeps fluctuating up and down. Cardano went down to 7 cents. I bought some more Cardano today at 7 cents. Monero is at 115, still mining some Monero. We got some Zcash at 136. We got some Dogecoin at 0.5 cents. It would be interesting if they added Dogecoin. If NASDAQ ever adds Dogecoin, holy crap, what is this world becoming? just saying. We got Digibyte as well. Oh, Digibyte was one of the few cryptocurrencies out there that publicly said that they had submitted their application to Coinbase. So that'd be cool. It'd be cool to see Digibyte on Coinbase. And, you know, that's actually a cryptocurrency, an old school cryptocurrency at that. So I could totally see Digibyte getting on Coinbase one day, for sure. And I think got BAT at 16 cents. Electronium. Oh, wow. Electronium came back. One penny up 23%. And I think that's it. I think that's all we got. Yeah, there's really not a lot going on. Oh, Eternal token up 88% at $1.28. Wow. I don't even want to. Well, let's just look real quick, see what that is. I don't even want to kind of give it attention, but let's see. Oh, yeah, that's a major. So it came out the year at $1.21, crashed all the way back down to 8 cents, and then it just went parabolic here in September, where it went literally from 23 cents all the way to $1.30. Absolutely, absolely craziness. We look at their social. It says, we are pleased to announce that our project is advancing new official authorized exchange of Eternal coin in Kenya. We officially formed a business tie-up with Eternal Wallet. Yeah, cool, I guess. I don't know. Oh, also, we're going to do a coin review this weekend. So let me know what you guys want me to review. We're going to do that on Sunday. Let me know what it is and we'll review it. We're going to do that live on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. But I think that's all we got for Coin Talk today. Just that was one of the biggest news I've heard was the whole XRP. So we'll see. With that, let's get on to the end of the show.
Fast over.
At the end of the day, if all of crypto goes up, that's good for the whole ecosystem, right? I mean, you want mass adoption, that's what we always say. We want different projects that have sustainability over time. And if NASDAQ wants to come in and they want to shake things up and get everybody excited again, well, that's good. Just make sure to do your own research on everything that you invest in and buy Bitcoin and save the world. See you next week.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Carr Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.